Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome everyone to Top 10, the classroom with the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How are you guys doing? It's 12:06 Eastern time here in Detroit, Michigan. I'm live from Flint, Michigan. Mufti Abdul Wahab will be joining us from Miftah headquarters in Warren, Michigan. And tonight we will have a special guest. We were scheduled to have Imam Siraj Wahaj. Imam Siraj is not feeling well. I would say, if I would say replacement, that would be disrespect. But this person is a placement. That's what it is, not a replacement. Inshallah, he'll be joining us very soon. I hope everyone is well. Tell me how you guys are doing. I don't know how you guys can keep up with us. Some of these people who are on from last program and they're still on right now, mashallah, taqabbalallah, may Allah put barakah in your time and your knowledge and your ability to practice exactly in everything that we're saying and live beyond the expectations of yourself and please Allah and impress the Prophet on the Day of Judgment. I want to invite my dear beloved brother, Mufti Abdul Rahman, Mufti Abdul Wahab onto the screen. Mufti Abdul Wahab, please join us. Assalamu alaikum.
How
are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
MashaAllah, man, I'm doing well. What's going on?
You guys are killing it, MashaAllah, with all these lives, you know, at 9:15. Now again, like I hope people are not tired of seeing us, you know, and we have the Ramadan immersion.
I'm tired of seeing myself.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, it's you know, alhamdulillah, hopefully people are enjoying it to some extent, inshallah, they take some form of benefit. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we have Sheikh Muhammad Masmani joining us. I mean, we planned the top 10 last year. With Sheikh Muhammad al-Masmari with us the entire 10 nights. That's how it was last year. This year, his community is open. It's open full fledged with Taraweeh and Qiyam and so on. So he said to us that I can't join all the nights, but I'll join as many nights as you need me. So we told him at least 4 or 5. So now, alhamdulillah, he's joining us, you know, live from the Muslim Unity Center. So inshallah, perfect timing, Sheikh.
Let me. Oh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah.
I gotta change my light colors for Sheikh Masmani. One second. Please change my light colors to dark gold.
It's not gonna work. It worked.
You gotta change the
standard. You set in a whole standard right now.
No, man. I had to match that turban. That turban of yours. MashaAllah, Sheikh Masmani. Oh, Lord, my eyes cannot believe who I'm seeing.
We miss your turban, Sheikh. Where's your turban been?
He lost it. He lost it, Sheikh. He lost it when he went, you know.
You can say a flint.
My turban is away. My turban.
MashaAllah. Good to see you all. MashaAllah. Beautiful to see you. Wallah, Sheikh Abdullah, Sheikh Abdul Wahab, and everyone on here.
Sheikh Masmani, you know, I behave very immature sometimes in front of these great scholars like Mufti Abdul Wahab, Mufti Abdul Rahman, and then you. And now seeing you, my excitement is just overwhelmed.
You know what the problem is? You say that to every speaker, man.
Yeah, Sheikh, let me back him up in saying that he says it to everyone, but you know, his emotions are different when he says it to you.
Alhamdulillah. Hey, watch out. Maybe the same speakers are watching. So, you know, you don't want to hurt them too.
No, I'm sincere when I say it. And I mean it. But Sheikh Masmani, I don't want to speak too much about you. But alhamdulillah, we're so blessed. Last year, everyone loved your presence on the Miftah Top 10. Like, everyone was talking about it.
Thank you.
I felt a little insecure. Everyone was saying, Sheikh Masmari, Sheikh Masmari. No one was saying, Sheikh Abdullah. Sheikh Abdullah, like, Sheikh Masmari.
Yes, man. Sheikh Abdullah, after Taraweeh, is at a different level.
Because Taraweeh is stressful. People need to know that. A lot of people think that they go in, they hear the person reading, and alhamdulillah, but it's stressful. It's like a performance, you know? So you have to make sure the qira'ah is right and everything is, you know?
Sheikh Masmari, are you doing some Adani Shai?
Yeah, I'm drinking some Shai. It's going to keep us awake all night, inshallah.
Is that the Yemeni stuff?
You know how it is, Sheikh.
Is that the good stuff, the Yemeni stuff where they put the qat in there?
You know how it is.
That is called Yemeni Dut Bati Adni Shai. It's, if not the best, second best or the first best tea that I drink. You know, Dut Bati, which is the desi one, and then Adni Shai is just excellent. And Yemeni, and Sheikh Masmari, you know what he does? He brings like 2-3 thermos to his office Saturday nights, and all the youth, all the shabab, they go to the gym, and he offers them free Yemeni chai. They just drink and they just enjoy it. And it's like, they just enjoy it. I mean, first of all, they're getting something for free. You know, youth love free stuff. And then they love, and the sheikh is providing this. I have a lot of free sheikh.
Love you too. But we see you, sheikh. This miftah has been occupying you all. The miftah.
We're going to crash the party one day, sheikh.
Huh?
We're going to crash the party one of these days, Sheikh. We're going to come.
Wallahi, you guys are, mashallah. May Allah put barakah in your efforts. I'm going to be honest. We can't do what you all do. You have a session. I don't know how you still have a session after Maghrib. And now you have a session after Taraweeh. And then you have all these programs happening. Allah jazikum al khair.
Allah barak, Sheikh.
Please support Mishtab.
I mean, that's why I...
Sheikh, you know, you let me continue. That's about supporting, man.
Go ahead. No, this is why I pledge that inshallah Sheikh Masmari will be joining us many of the nights tonight, and he will be blessing us. Bismillah, let's start Mufti Duha.
Inshallah, we'll have Sheikh Masmari on again for a few nights, inshallah, in the top 10, at least 3 or 4 nights. He doesn't know that yet, but inshallah, he is committed without even committing. In tonight's session, inshallah, so last night we spoke about something along the more to do with the khuluq of a person, the character of a person, where a person, the best person is that individual who can bring happiness to another person. Today we'll be speaking about another best, right? And the idea is a classroom of the Sahaba. So this hadith refers to the greatest, where did Masmari go?
He'll come back.
Okay. The greatest muhajir, the greatest, you call a migrant, the best migrant, right? So the Sahabas radiallahu ajma'in sat in front of the Prophet Sallam, and the Prophet is sitting in front of them, and he speaks about the best Muslim is that individual who protects others from his tongue and his hands. And then he talks about the best muhajir, the best immigrant. Who is the best person that leaves from one land to another? And the Prophet Sallam says, أفضل المهاجرين من هاجر ما نهى الله تعالى عنه. That the greatest muhajir is that individual who leaves from those things that Allah has forbidden them from going towards. So before we get into this hadith, if Bajan or you or Sheikh Masmani can just quickly speak for a few minutes about the virtues of the muhajirun, of the muhajir. What is this referring to? Why is this term, why is this term honorable for us? Why do we want to be amongst the category of muhajirun?
Sheikh Masmani is going to talk. I'm going to step away for a second.
No, Sheikh, you're the master of... Oh no, look how he did it.
Sheikh, please
go on. You ask the question, answer it.
No, I'm like, so why is it important for us to be in that category of muhajirin? Like, why do we want to be in that category, Sheikh?
Inshallah, I'm going to address it from a different angle, but answer your question.
So, khalas, for me, you know, if someone wants to tell us there are the two greatest companies in America, right? Like whatever those two companies are. For example, they say, for example, it's Amazon and Google, or if it's, you know, it's one of the automobile companies, GM and Ford or Tesla, whatever they are. If someone was to ask us, you know, with your degree, you're able to get into any of these two, you would be a happy camper. Like, khalas, you know, as long as I get my degree, I can get into Amazon or Google. That's awesome, right? That's what else could I ask for? The greatest categorization of people that has ever been given by anyone is the categorization of the muhajirun and the ansar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that category of muhajirun specific to those that left Mecca and came to Medina, and the category of the ansar for those that supported them. Now in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that we can also be a part of that category, that fraternity, that group, that, you know, elite, in that elite group that the sahaba were given. How can we be amongst those individuals? By staying away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to stay away from. So why is it important for us? Because it's a slam dunk, right? It's a slam dunk. You're in. If you're amongst the muhajirun, you don't need anything else. So Sheikh, for me, the categorization of being amongst the muhajirun comes with that entire backdrop, right? The people that left their homes, that left their families, that left their loved ones, and they traveled in the middle of the desert, and they finally made it to Medina. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the beautiful title of Muhajir. We, as a shortcut, are also being given this title, right? How? By simply staying away from certain things. So that's why it's important to me. Maybe perhaps you guys can also chime in at some level, inshallah ta'ala.
Sheikh Masmadi will add on to it. Honestly, I want to hear him. I've been speaking all day. Bismillah.
Sheikh, please, let's go. Please, I want to hear your...
Sheikh Masmadi, I am not requesting you. I'm ordering you as a brother. Please, go ahead.
Allah Jazakum Allah Khair. Bismillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Jazakum Allah Khair, everyone, for tuning in. And Jazakum Allah Khair, dear Mashaykh, for leading these discussions. May Allah reward you. We love you all for the sake of Allah. So if I can continue what Mufti Abdul Wahab just said. Anytime you think about Hijrah, let's take a step back for a moment and not talk about Muhajirun. Let's not talk about the Sahaba. Let's talk about Hijrah. Hijrah is a journey that took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina, from Abyssinia to Medina. These were different Hijrat, different journeys that the Sahaba embarked on. When you think about Hijrah, you think about traveling, right? When you travel, you will always find yourself as a stranger. When you travel, you will experience being tired, exhausted, thirsty, hungry. When you travel, you may find yourself in an unwelcoming environment. And it's going to take some time. When you talk about Hijrah, you're talking about a week, 2 weeks of consistent traveling. It's not about from one city that the Sahaba traveled to, from one village to another village, to Al-Madinah, it was called Yathrib. There were always long journeys. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us this beautiful, the most beautiful example that you and I can relate to when he spoke about a person that remains firm on their imam and stays strong and keeps a distance from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. And he or she lived the life of a muhajir, which means that when you stand against the haram, you're going to struggle. It's not easy. When you stand against the haram, you're going to travel to Allah. You won't just find yourself in the presence of Allah. You have to travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you travel, you will be thirsty, hungry, unwelcome. Some of you might go to a masjid and you're not welcomed at the masjid. That doesn't mean that you cut off your connection with Allah. You go to a community, you may feel that they're a cult and their doors are closed on your face, but the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. And this is why Al-Imam Al-Junayd, when he spoke about someone that goes to Allah and travels to Allah, قال إن تكلم فعن الله وإن سكت فلله وإن توكل فمع الله هو معرض عن نفسه متصل بربه. He said that a true person that travels to Allah is someone that disconnects from himself and herself and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You disconnect from your desires. You remain firm on connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though you're yourself, but when you connect to Allah, you disconnect from yourself and you connect with a greater being. If they speak, they speak about Allah. If they are silent, then they are silent for Allah. And if they travel, they rely on Allah and they have trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the life of a muhajir. And since we're talking about Ramadan, Ramadan is the greatest definition of hijrah. You have 30 days to travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we overcome our bad habits in the month of Ramadan. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ وَأَفْضَلُ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ مَنْ هَاجَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. That the greatest muhajir is someone that runs away from Allah, runs away from haram to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one thing that crosses my mind also, dear Mashaykh, is the man that engaged in haram, and then, of course, the man that killed and committed crimes. And when the angel advised that person with a great nasiha, the nasiha was hijrah, travel. it's not easy. You're going to travel from your sin to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which may take some time. Overcoming a bad habit is not easy. Studies show that, you know, you're talking about at least 21 days in overcoming a bad habit. And this is how I think of hijrah when we talk about this hadith that you mentioned. Allah
Subhanallah. Bajan, that was, I mean, I think we should just,
I was just taking notes, honestly. The concept of like this moving towards Allah, this leaving, you know, in hijrah, there's a lot of stuff that you're going to leave behind because you're not going to take all your baggage with you, you know. So as you're moving towards Allah, you're going to leave a lot of your friends behind, you know. You're going to leave a lot of associations behind, and you're going to look back and say, you know, these were my old friends, my old neighborhoods, but I moved away from that. And the Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, it was known by Ibn Umar that when he would come back to Mecca, because that's where he migrated from. Think about, just I want you to take your turbans and loosen them and think about this. And that is, imagine you gave something away for the sake of Allah. Say you liked, say Mufti Duhab liked coffee a lot. You left it for the sake of Allah. You know what? I'm wasting too much money on my coffee. Sheikh Masmari, he likes, just say you like playing cards. You don't like playing cards. Sheikh Masmari hates cards. I'm just giving, he's playing cards. Not haram, just saying, plays cards. He left it for the sake of Allah. Sheikh Masmari and Sheikh Abdul Wahab, they walk in to my house and they see me playing cards with my kids. Right away, Sheikh Masmari knows that he had a pass playing, you know, with these cards and these jokers. He pulls his eyes away and he says, like, he's not going to pay attention to it because he knows that he at one time in his life was part of playing this type of game. And I'm not saying it's haram. I'm just saying pastime, wasting time. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he left Mecca, went to Medina, came back to Mecca, Fatih Mecca, when he saw his old house, you know what he did, Sheikh Masmari? مَا مَرَّبْ Ibn Umar بِمَرْبَعِهِ إِلَّا غَمَّضَ
عَيْنَيْهِ.
Every time he walked by that place that once he gave away, he never looked back at it. He would lower his eyes. People used to say, that's your old house. He used to say, that's it. I migrated away from this. Something that I left for the sake of Allah, even if it's not haram to look back at that house. It says that's a house of Umar bin Khattab. That's a house where Umar bin became Muslim. His son became Muslim. Hafsa became Muslim. It's a good place, you know, on Jabal Umar. But the reality is, once it was given away, like who can do that? It's like I was thinking about how could you do that? It's like imagine donating half of the money for your masjid and then say, I don't want to be part of the board. I don't want to be part of nothing. Just take it. Now you had like, if you want something from someone, like, I'm going to run it, own it, and I'll direct it. But the reality is, Ibn Umar gave it away for the sake of Allah. And the second thing Ibn Umar was very common for, مَا ذُكْرَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَكَى. Every time the Prophet ﷺ was mentioned, he cried. I'm just going to add this last point, Mufti Duhab, then I want you to just take off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about moving towards something, as if you are transporting towards somewhere. When Allah says about dunya, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. Walk on the dunya. Walk, famshu, fi manakibiha, and enjoy the risk. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about maghfira, or you know, Allah talks about dhikr in Surah Jum'ah, fas'aw ila dhikrillahi wa dharul bay. Hasten. Sa'a, it means to go faster, you know, to walk with the pace, with the purpose. Fas'aw ila dhikrillah. You know, leave everything, wa dharul bay, and go for the salah. When Allah talks about maghfira, سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Race towards Allah. When Allah talks about فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, you know, race towards khayrat. فَسَارِعُوا, this is the concept of Allah. As the matter, the object gets important, more important, the faster the pace should become as you're walking away. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, walk towards me, come towards me, Allah didn't say فَمْشُوا, didn't say فَسْعُوا, didn't say sari'u, didn't say fastabiqu. He says, fafirru ila Allah. Fafirru ila Allah. I'm not asking you to walk. I'm not asking you to run. I'm asking you to run away from something that's chasing you, which is shaitan dunya, and run towards Allah. In this hijrah, you're going to have to let go of so many friends and so many bad company. And in the end, you get the ridwan, inshallah, the pleasure of Allah. Sorry, Mufti Sahib.
Oh, Mishan, that was awesome, Mishan. So, I mean, the fact that you just mentioned that Sheikh Masmari also was referring to this, where you know, hijrah also has a concept of you would have to leave certain things and certain people and certain, you know, environments. So it does come with its challenges, right? But the reward of it is greater. So I mean, the word hijrah doesn't mean to leave. That's taraka, right? To leave something. Kharaja means to leave from somewhere. Hajara or hajara means to leave without the intention of going back.
Wow.
Right. Sa'ad ibn Waqas radiallahu anhu, when he was sick and he thought he was passing away in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was actually crying, right? Bijan, you're the seerah expert. Like, why was he crying for Bijan? Like,
he was afraid that if he died in Mecca, he won't be considered amongst the Muhajirin.
Allah. He thought just because I would pass away in Makkah al-Mukarramah, I won't be considered amongst the Muhajirun, even though I already left everything. I left every single thing. It was a young man who left his entire family. But now if I pass away here, I might not be amongst the Muhajirun. So they were so afraid of even passing away in these communities because they left it. So when we leave something, there are challenges that come with it, but there is a special reward. There's a scholar by the name of Dawood al-Ta'i, and this is also narrated by Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, who says, "Man taraka من خرج من ذل المعاصي إلى عز التقوى." A person that leaves from the embarrassment and the humiliation of sins and those things that make Allah upset towards those things that make Allah happy, because they left certain people, they left certain environments, so it's hard for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with three things, three beautiful things. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them is إِلَّا أَغْنَاهُ بِلَا مَالٍ. So a person had to leave a job because his job was bringing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this income was not permissible. So they left it. They left it. They said, khalas, we're leaving it. He says, أَغْنَاهُ بِلَا مَالٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person wealth without any physical wealth around them. So they won't perhaps have money, but they'll feel content because الْغِنَا غِنَا النَّفْس. So they left something, Allah gives them something better. Then he says, وَأَعَزَّهُ بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ. Allah will give them honor despite the fact that they don't have a tribe to give them honor. They don't have a family, because generally back in the days, even till today, your community, your family, your last name, your associations, these give you honor. They give you respect.
Like, right? They'll honor you without a social media account.
Yeah, there you go, Bijan. That's perfect. وَأَعَزَّهُ بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ. This person is a lone wolf. There's no one around. There's no one with him supporting them. Right? Badal Islamu ghariba. They're different. They're different. You know, it's okay to be different if you're not different in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not different in the eyes of Allah. We are known in the eyes of Allah. We are recognized in the eyes of Allah. Our voices are recognized in the courts of Allah. It's okay to be different. A'azzahu bila ashira. And the third thing is wa'anasahu bila anisan. Right? This fear, and I'll end with this, Sheikh Masmin can take it away. The fear of change is that I'm not sure who's still going to be with me. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure who's going to be around me, who's going to be supportive of me. So everyone is scared of change. It's not just in deen, right, Sheikh? People are scared of change even for work, for life. They're scared of change. He says, أَنَسَهُ بِلَا أَنِيسٍ. This fear of loneliness and being alone and boredom will not be there for that person, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him unsiyat, would give that person, you know, this feeling of companionship without anyone being around, because they have the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anasahu bila anisan. The first fear is you won't have money. Allah says, aghnahu bila mal, I'll give you money. The second fear is that my family will leave me. A'azzahu bila ashira, there will be respect given to us. The third fear is I'll be all alone. أَنَسَهُ بِلَا أَنِيس. It's okay. We will still feel comfort. We will still feel consoled. We will still feel like we have people around us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put our love in the hearts of people. So I feel like these three things are good enough for us to start on this journey. There's a great quote by Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, who says, لَا تَجِدُ حَلَاوَةَ الْعِبَادَةِ إِلَّا جَعَلْتَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ شَهَوَاتِكَ سَدَّ. You know, he says that you and I will never feel the sweetness of worship until we put a barrier between us and our shahwat, our desires. When you put that barrier, then doing a good deed actually feels good. It feels fulfilling. It feels that we're actually doing something for it, right? So, Sheikh, I guess my question to Sheikh Masmadi is, what, it's not easy to leave things, right? So what would be, you know, one is encouragement, one is nasiha. What are some other ways that we can encourage ourselves to leave certain things? It's not that easy. Yes, there's these virtues that we hear, but how else can we, you know, start on this journey?
Sheikh Abdullah.
No, Sheikh Masmadi. I'm not speaking first.
So two things that come to mind. I feel what allows you to put aside all these struggles and strive for the sake of Allah to empower yourself, self-embetterment, and just bring about internal change. Number one is that we have to love ourselves. We have to love our fitrah. Loving oneself is not being selfish. It's not being selfish. Loving oneself is giving yourself what it needs. Your aql needs education, your intellect. Your ruh needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your body needs to be taken care of, for this is an amana. This is what self-care, because you cannot give others what you don't have. And so as I'm embarking in this journey, I need to know that I am doing the best for myself and for my iman and for my ummah. And this brings about this internal comfort, and it puts a person at ease that this is why, subhanAllah, people just love themselves. So it's good to love yourself in a positive way. Number two, what makes it easier is the idea of understanding that in this journey, you are seeking the pleasure of Allah. The Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, they weren't excited to give bay'ah. When they extended their hands, giving bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-Aqaba, they said, فَمَا لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What do we have in all of this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ قَالُوا بَايَعْنَاكَ That I promise you Jannah. And the moment the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, they extended their hands to give their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the idea that I am doing this for the sake of Allah and I am seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the idea of being rewarded does bring about ease.
Change.
This is going to be my, because I know this is a small session, so this is going to be my last reminder, and then you all are going to finish it off.
Hold on.
Sheikh Abdul, 40 minutes, so we got 5 minutes left, right?
No, 27 minutes in, Sheikh. We have 10 minutes left.
Okay, then Yella, you guys talk. I'll say mine.
No, we're not speaking. I'm telling you right now, I have questions for you. Sheikh Masmadi, in the month of Ramadan, we fasted 20 some days. We built some resistance. How can we continue the same with istiqamah? You know, stay away from haram? Because a lot of people are like, I you know how Hajj is, right? Sheikh Masmadi goes Hajj with me, and he goes Hajj with the elite people, mashallah.
You guys don't give up much, man. You guys are just chilling.
No, so
why are you telling about me? Look at the group you lead, Sheikh. Okay, go.
Sheikh Masmadi, when people are leaving Hajj, what is the most common question? One of the questions is like, this is the last day, like, you know, I'm sad I'm leaving, but I'm also afraid that I won't be able to keep up my connection with Allah. It's a fact, it's a reality check. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's a bittersweet feeling, but it's a very bitter feeling in the sense like you're leaving the house of Allah, you're leaving Makkah. So spiritually you've never felt this good. Actually, mentally too. Some people emotionally, mentally, they forgot all their pain, they forgot all their worries. Now they come here, they gotta go back, gotta see their spouse yelling at the floor, you know, they gotta hear the children, they gotta go to work. The dunya comes in again. And it's some deep down, we enjoy the spiritual presence of the Kaaba. But when we have to go back to the dunya, so they ask this question to Sheikh Masmadi all the time. And this is how do we keep this up? We know, you know, so can you give us some advice on that, especially as we come into the last 10 nights, the odd nights, and then post Ramadan, please?
Allahu alam. I feel that our Ramadans, is we can compare it to a lazy diet. So what it is that you go on a diet for a month and you lose 10 pounds, and then the next 3 weeks you gain 15 pounds. So we have a short-term vision and understanding of what Ramadan is all about.
Wow.
And this is why our Ramadans are not sustainable.
Mm.
So it's the same diet mindset, that if it's not a lifestyle, you won't, don't expect to change.
That's so deep. That's so deep. Lifestyle. Because my wife says the same thing to me. I stop eating, I go low carbs, you know? The mindset thing, is, it gives me goosebumps, right? My wife says, she says, listen, it's not low carbs. It's not, you know, drinking healthy juice or, you know, not eating rice and stuff. It's about a mindset, because when I'm in Flint, I restrict myself. But when I go to my mom's house, the butter chicken, the biryani, the kebab, shabab, you know, I become shabab. You know, so that's right. Go ahead, mindset.
So the mindset. So if we can link it into hijrah, okay, since we're talking about a muhajir, the ulama, when they speak about taqwa, they say, at-taqwa quwwatul ijtidhabi wa quwwatul ijtinabi. Okay? Quwwatul ijtidhab, what taqwa does is it brings you closer to good and it pushes you far from evil. Mm. And I feel that in Ramadan, even though the ultimate objective and goal of Ramadan is seeking taqwa, taqwa is basically building walls that allow you to sustain yourself and travel to Allah throughout the year.
Mm.
And this is where we lack. We just go into Ramadan, we do the Ramadan as a ritual, and then we come to realize that our walls were only 3 feet tall.
Mm.
And so we can still see the haram, we can knock the wall down, we can walk over the wall. But if we are able to sustain our taqwa in the month of Ramadan and capitalize on taqwa and allow this taqwa to draw me closer to Allah, push me further away from haram, and sustain my journey by making sure, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. التَّقْوَى is zad. It's what you need when you travel. So I'm going to need enough sustainable iman. I'm going to need enough, what's my strategy of how I'm going to read the Quran? How am I going to sustain my faith throughout the week? Not the year, throughout the week. And this is what people lack. And the Sahaba ridwanullah alayhim kanu yastaqbilunahu sitta wa yuwaddi'unahu sitta. فَكَانَ كُلُّ عَامِهِمْ رَمَضَانِ. That the Prophet, that the Sahaba would welcome Ramadan for 6 months, experience sadness for 6 months for its departure. So their whole year was Ramadan. So if your intention is just to get the ajr, you will receive it. But that's not our objective. Ajr is easy to give. Tawbah is so easy. Tawbah is the easiest thing to do. Iman is the easiest thing to do. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ قَالَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. The Allah says that those whom said Allah is our Lord and believed in Allah, and then they lived a life of istiqama, steadfastness, remaining firm, because that's a completely different lifestyle. Iman is a quick diet. You listen to a lecture, your iman goes up. Istiqama is a lifestyle.
Wow.
And I feel that istiqama is what we're missing.
SubhanAllah, Sheikh, that was profound, Sheikh. JazakAllah khair for that. Before you leave, I mean, we're going to keep you for a few more seconds. I feel like,
Don't worry. Sheikh Masmadi can't go anywhere without me allowing him to go.
So okay, that's fine, Bajan. You know, I feel like, you know, if someone was to ask, why should we leave certain things? My answer would be, every single one of us leave things when we know that there is a benefit in it. What are we talking about, man? Athletes leave every single thing that they like. Their food, their diets, their lifestyle, their families, they travel throughout the year. These same celebrities that we look up to, they leave everything.
Some people do, not we do.
No, celebrities.
Some people look up to athletes. I don't look up to them.
Oh, we don't look up to them. That's true. We look down at them, right? They leave all these things so that they can make it to the NBA, to the NFL. But Jen, you know what the percentage of players that make it to the NBA are? The percentage that play in college, less than 1%.
Yep.
Less than 1% of players that play collegiate basketball make it to the NBA.
What is up? But, how many brown people that actually thought they were gonna make it to the NBA.
But zero.
I'm sorry, if you have brown genetics, stick to medicine.
You can't make it, right? But these guys all thought they were gonna make it. Less than 1% make it, but they leave so much to get there. They leave everything to get there. We left so, not we, but our parents left so much to come here and to see a better lifestyle, right? So to leave things is not a foreign concept to us. It's something that we understand when we know that the results will speak for themselves. Like people that go to med school or dentist school or law school, whatever it may be, they leave years of their youth. Years of their happiness, their laughter, their gatherings. How many times we do something and certain people can't join us because they're busy with school. But they're okay with that. The pain is there, but they're okay with it because they know that it will be worth it, right? It will be worth it. Similarly, leaving things will only become easier if we know that inshallah it will be worth it. And I mean, there's nothing more worth it with guarantee, not 1% chance, guarantee. That inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's happiness will be with us. You know, there's one concept that Hudayb ibn Yaman says that is very scary. He says that ma istakhaffa qawmun bihaqqi Allah illa ba'athaha Allah biqawmin istakhaffa bihaqqihim. He says that never does it happen that an individual or a community ignores the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that Allah was sent to them a people that will ignore their rights. We're always worried about our own rights, right? If we take care of Allah's rights, He says that Allah will take care of our rights. If we as a community ignore the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever commandments He's given us, Allah will send people upon us that will ignore our own rights. And now we can scream from the rooftops, but it won't make a difference. So leaving things is normal, but leaving it for the sake of Allah should also become normal in our communities. I mean, there's nothing that more that we can say that Sheikh Masmani already put masala on, but I felt
I can say something.
Okay, just for those youngsters that are watching, like, you know, we all, for youngsters specifically, myself included, we all leave things, man. We all leave things.
What did you leave?
Me? Man, nothing. I'm not a good person, that's why.
No, you left a lot of stuff.
Alhamdulillah.
Did you ever like music or something?
But come on, Bijan, man.
that's a good question. Did you?
Why are you being like super sensitive?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Okay, because Sheikh Masmari, you know, I know he has a good voice, but that voice didn't come from just reading Quran. I'm sure he's like, you know, he sees some other stuff too. Sheikh Masmari, did you leave anything in the past? In your Jahiliyyah days?
Sheikh, for you. You know that triggers when you say that, don't?
Sheikh Masmari. Sheikh Masmari's Jahiliyyah days ended at 11 years old. MashaAllah.
No, it's just when you say that, you know what comes to mind. That's why you're saying that.
Alhamdulillah. I mean, you know, some people have, you know, music. Was there, you know, they had to leave it. Like, you have to be real. Like, I know, like, Mufti Abdurrahman is not on right now, but I just hope I'm not backbiting about him because he's in itikaf. One day, I walked into a pharmacy, like, I think Walgreens or something, to pick up medicine, and he stopped walking. And I'm saying, Mufti Saab, we got to walk. We got to pick up the medication. He started walking slow. And then I said, Mufti Saab, what happened? He said, and he just said, Astaghfirullah, and just walked. He said, Astaghfirullah, and just kept walking and came. And I was like, Mufti Saab, what happened, Mufti Saab? This is years ago, guys. Mufti Saab's not like this anymore. Mufti Saab.
That's a beautiful story. You can share it. It's not.
So I got in the car and I was like, listen, man, what happened? Did something come to your thought? Did you get some form of revelation? What happened? Inspiration? You know? So he's like, you know, when I was young, I liked this song that was playing. You know, and the song came on again, and it caught my ear. Then I realized, Astaghfirullah, and like the words, just the lyrics, it kind of brought him back to his Jahiliyyah when he was like 9 years old, 10 years old, you know? And a lot of people think that people who are changed, they were always like this. No, even scholars, like Imam Suhaib Webb, he says in his speech, he's a DJ. He was a DJ. he changed his life. And he started a new life. That's a lot. Imam Zain Shakir. We're going to bring Imam Zain Shakir on soon. They had a different life in the past, especially the converts. A lot of the, even the Muslims, like a lot of the, even the imams that you sit, like, sit with now, like, they might act, you know, quiet and respectful. They know the world. They've seen the world. And they've left all of that, you know? So Mufti Abdul Rahman, and then, you know, like, Imam Zain Shakir said something about Umar ibn Khattab. And Miftah, yeah. What did he say?
He said that Umar radiallahu anhu said that I fear of a time in which there's a community that none amongst them has seen jahiliyyah, because that community will not truly understand the beauty of iman. Like, if none of them have seen jahiliyyah. So yeah. Umar radiallahu anhu actually said this.
What is it? No, he just said that. He said layta al abnaa alimun wa ashul jahiliyyah.
Wow.
Kayfa dhalika wa qad wulidu fil islam. You know, so like, I wish your kids would see the time of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era. And they said, how so when our children are born into Islam? قَالَ حَتَّى يَعْرِفُوا نِعْمَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ. So they may appreciate Islam more. When they're born into it, they don't. And that's why you have converts that appreciate Islam more than people that were born into Islam.
Exactly. Like, you know, so people go through change. We're not going to open up our own, my history, my gangster lifestyle back in the days. We're not going to do that. But we were lucky. Sheikh Abdul Wahab was very lucky. Sheikh Masmari, he was the younger brother of, like, me, Mufti Abdul Rahman, and Sheikh Abdul Aziz. So kind of like, he came out of my dad and my mom's shadow right to the Darul Uloom Madrasa in Canada, in Ajax. And subhanAllah, became Sheikh Abdul Wahab. Do you know how you got enrolled into the school? We'll conclude with this.
Yeah, man, I have a story, man.
Just hold on for 1 second. You don't listen to your older brother. So Sheikh Abdul Wahab was not supposed to get enrolled into a boarding school when he was 8, 9 years old because he was too young. So Sheikh Abdul Aziz was getting enrolled because two of us were already enrolled. We were becoming hafiz. Well, we were already done. We were both hafiz, me and Sheikh Abdul Rahman. And they wanted to become hafiz really bad. They're like, I can't wait to do this. And Sheikh Abdul Wahab is coming out of middle school, and he's one of those
kids. I'm not middle school, Bijan. If I'm 8 years old, I'm coming out of grade 3.
Damn, grade 3, man. Poor guy, you didn't see the world. You know? Anyways, and he comes in, and the administration happens. The principal meets our father. May Allah make everything easy for him. And he accepts Sheikh Abdul Aziz. And Sheikh Abdul Wahab thought he's going to join the school. Finally, when they go home back to the hotel, my dad says to my brother, Sheikh Abdul Wahab, Mufti Abdul Majid said that you're too young and you can come back next year. You're just too young. Like, he was 9 years old. It's just not unheard of. So he got really sad. He said, no, it's not fair. My brother's going. I want to do it. You know, I want to become hafiz too. So my dad just threw the card out. You know how my dad is, right, Sheikh Masmari? It's like, if you want something to happen, you really want it really bad, you have to wake up in the middle of the night, pray tahajjud, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, you know, maybe, and if Allah opens the ustad's heart, inshallah, maybe. But right now, it's no chance. So my mom and dad are sleeping in the hotel. The story was told by, I think, my dad. My dad told me the story. I was wondering, my mom or my dad. And Sheikh Abdul Wahab wakes up in the middle of the night, tahajjud. My mom and my dad are sleeping. They hear a kid wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe he has to go to the bathroom, does wudu, puts something down. And then prays tahajjud. And it makes dua, cries in dua. My mom and dad hear this. My mom and dad are hiding their emotions behind the blankets. They wake up the next morning, they tell the principal, this is what the kid did last night, you have to accept him. And this is why Mufti Abdul Wahab is so special, you know? And so Mufti Abdul Wahab didn't really have a jahiliyyah. So,
two weeks later, I wanted to leave, but alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but Sheikh, it's not about jahiliyyah. People need to know that everyone in the world struggles. We still struggle. Exactly.
Yep.
It's just the struggles are different. Some people it's with drugs, some people it's with alcohol, some people it's with ikhlas, some people. So everyone just know that
everyone's struggling with something.
Jahiliyyah, but we all collectively have our own struggles and we choose our way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not easy.
Someone who's used to smoke, stop smoking. It's not easy for them to look at someone else smoke. It's they always like they get the urge because the nicotine and the bad and the habit of doing it. So they go through that, but the struggle is your mujahada. That's your hijrah. That's exactly the hijrah you've done. You've left that world. And inshallah, you stay out of that lifestyle. Sheikh Masmari, you know, you said some beautiful things, many beautiful things, Mufti Duha. It's so many beautiful things tonight.
Yeah, you just said the struggle part. Allah says, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Like our struggle, the benefit of it will be us. Sheikh Masmari, you said something very nice. You said everyone is struggling with something.
Sheikh Masmari didn't tell me his struggle. He didn't tell me his struggle. So I'm asking right now. What was your biggest struggle, Sheikh Masmari?
Well, Allah, the struggles continue, Sheikh. They never ended.
Never end.
They never end. Like, it's just sometimes you grow and you leave a bad habit. You know, it's not, for an example, I'm going to be honest, music, when I was in Yemen, I used to love listening to music. But leaving
our music or American music?
No, American music.
Ooh, yeah, but, American.
you know, Sheikh. But the point is that you grow out of it. And because the lyrics are no longer lyrics, people are not, it's just, it carries no more meaning. It's more foul language than anything. But you grow out of it. I don't think I listen to music now and I'm shaking, and there's big problems that we still face and we struggle with, and we ask Allah for steadfast. It doesn't mean that we're wearing turbans and we're calling people to Allah that we're the strongest. Abu Bakr himself said, "Nafaqa Abu Bakr." Nafaqa Abu Bakr committed hypocrisy, and then the other Sahabi, and we all strive to Allah. We're all struggling. No one is perfect.
But Jen, I'm just going to say a statement before we leave. The great scholar, he says that a person that leaves haram for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him Jannah. But a person who leaves something permissible for the sake of Allah, Allah gives him his rida. Right? So some of us...
Translate the word rida, please.
Allah gives that person his pleasure. You know, the pleasure of Allah is much... وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. Right? The rizwan and the pleasure of Allah is much bigger than anything else in this world. The Sahabas were guaranteed كُلَّنْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Husna, some scholars say, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى refers to seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. So if we leave haram, we get Jannah. That's great, right? But if we leave things that are permissible for the sake of Allah, for example, some people have to leave coffee. Some people have to leave playing sports. Like, I would say, one of the things that we've left as brothers collectively is playing sports as much as we used to play, or watching sports as much as we used to watch it, right? Not because it's impermissible. It's just because we had to leave it. So when someone leaves something that is permissible for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it leads to Allah's rida. So I think everyone should remember this, that it's not just things that are haram. It's things that can become speed bumps.
It's like even leaving your sleep for tahajjud.
Yeah.
You know, like something like, you know, it's even like you could buy something expensive and you already have it. Just leave it for the sake of Allah. And that you get Allah's pleasure. Like so many things you can just, it's so easy to get Allah. So easy. Leave one thing haram, what are you getting big? Getting Allah. Like think about it. Like you leave one thing haram, you get Allahu Akbar, who's bigger than the heavens and the earth.
Yeah. Jen, everyone, including us, should write down one thing tonight that we will leave in the last 10 nights. You write it on your own. Everyone should. I will write it. I think we will all write it ourselves. That one thing that we can leave in these last 10 nights. Wallahi, these sessions are enjoyable, but really, they only hold a weight if we can actually do something with
even
it.
Even if it's like, even if it's not religious, even social, like
whatever it is,
complaining about to your wife, leaving nagging at someone, leaving being disrespectful, leaving telling someone I'll be there in 5 minutes, but you get there in an hour, like that kind of stuff. Like even these small things, like you may think it's not like like in the Quran or Hadith. No, it is. So like it's where some people think it's, oh, I'm going to leave my Instagram or my TikTok, which is not TikTok, it's khatanak. So no, I mean, everything has, something you can do. That's Mufti Sabis.
Jazakallah khair, Bajan, Sheikh Masmari. We'll see you again in a few nights.
Can we just continue just talking? Like forget the session, we're done. Like we just talk on our own. Like everybody who else is here, you guys can go to sleep and then go home. Me and Sheikh Masmari, we've got a lot of talking to do.
No, I think Sheikh Masmari has to go back to his shabab, you know, into his family. But may Allah reward Sheikh Masmari, man, for joining us.
It's so beautiful to see both of you.
He's an imam. When he ties that turban, his life is waqf. It's for the deen of Allah. So his time is waqf.
How about you? We need you to tie that turban too.
It's in my heart. It's in my heart. You're joking. You'll be joking.
Sheikh, Jazakallah khair, inshallah. We'll see you again. We have at least 4 nights with Sheikh Masmari, inshallah.
Well, Sheikh Abdul Wahab. Oh my God. It was 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Okay.
You can get, you can get at least 10 people say, Sheikh Masmadi, please keep on coming on.
Inshallah. You guys are doing an amazing job. Allah, may Allah preserve you all. You all are doing something salaha none of us can do. So may Allah protect you all.
This is yours, man. Sheikh. Allah bless you and your family, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, everyone.
I want to say everyone. To Sheikh Masmadi, Sheikh Abdul Wahab, Jazakallah khair.
Exactly.
I mean, you enjoyed it so much. Barakallah feekum. Taqabbalallah. Keep us in your du'as in your night. And guys, wait a minute. Sheikh Masmadi is here. And Sheikh Masmadi can see this. He can be part of the sustainers. So don't forget to be a miftah sustainer. Pray for us. Make du'a for us at night. Open your wallet. Go onto the website. It's miftahsustainers.com.
And Wallahi, you should. That should be your a mission of the last 10 nights. Every night you give something. Inshallah to miftah.
So you sign up once for life. $100 for life. Khalas.
Jazakallah khair, everyone. Thank you.